It is the morning show. I'm K. Dr. Kent. Now we look at projects dedicated to funding climate adaptation and resilience. The Wildlife Conservation Society, it has a fund that's supporting 123 climate adaptation project grants in the lower 48, including here in Wisconsin. Join in on this work of helping wildlife and ecosystems adapt to different climate impacts. 800-642-1234. Conversation is right here. 800-642-1234. Liz Tully is Climate Adaptation Fund Associate Director at the Wildlife Conservation Society. Liz, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you. I'm so glad you guys are talking about adaptation on your show.
Yes. Well, let's start here in Wisconsin. And the newest site working toward climate adaptation is this Rush Creek State Natural Area that is near La Crosse, one of the largest prairies in the Midwest, nearly 50 rare declining species. What is being done there?
This is a wonderful partnership with the Natural Resources Foundation of Wisconsin. But a few others, including your state DNR, Department of Natural Resources, and the Wisconsin Initiative on Climate Change Impacts. So, as you said, this is serving over 50 species of greatest conservation need and one of the largest remaining prairies of its kind in the whole Midwest. They're trying to work on addressing the increasing temperatures and the precipitation patterns that they're seeing that are pretty extreme and leading to severe flooding. So to address all those challenges, the conditions for their normal conservation approaches are just different now. So now they're working on reconnecting these remnant dry prairies and restoring the oak savanna and the woodlands by removing invasive species. That is a major adaptation strategy. They're also applying prescribed fire. They'll convert cropland back into native prairie and savanna by using climate-adaptive seed species and genotypes, another important adaptation strategy. And overall, this will lead to a much more connected, resilient habitat for hundreds of wildlife and plant species, while also, because of the grassland, carbon sequestration will provide carbon mitigation benefits.
How are these tactics and this work in climate adaptation, how is that different from conservation work historically?
I love this question because it's not so on the ground. It doesn't look that different. We're planting plants and trees. These partners are. They're doing prescribed fires. They're removing invasives, all standard conservation actions. What's different is they are adjusting the actions and the species based on the new and projected climate impacts they're seeing at this area. So it's a wonderful combination of standard conservation science, but new climate science, new vulnerability analyses, and we really combine local knowledge. Science is almost a little too slow for climate change. So these projects are very hyper-local and really rely on people who have lived and worked in these landscapes for many years and decades.
Oh, that's really interesting. And so as you look to figure out where to put these grants, you really are looking closely at that local knowledge, as you call it, people who know this land intimately.
Absolutely.
When the Rush Creek State Natural Area, its adaptation plan includes climate-adapted species of plants, can you give an example of how plant species can adapt to climate change, how that is actually possible?
So plant species adapt very slowly, much slower than the rate of climate change impacts. So a lot of these projects are actually sourcing seeds from other regions that have already experienced the climate conditions they're seeing now or expecting to see. So they're going to source them from areas that are drier. If this part of this area of Rush Creek now might be seeing periods of dryness, but they're also seeing periods of increased wetness. So they're actually going to increase the types of species they're going to plant so that there are more species available and thriving during different parts of the year. It's a multiple kind of multi-pronged strategy with sourcing from regions that already experience those climate conditions, but also increasing the species variety.
I want to move to the Lakeshore Natural Resource Partnership, working with the communities of northeast and east central Wisconsin and the waters that drain into Lake Michigan. And this is interesting because it's finding that tricky balance between native plants and the transient visitors. How do you consider climate adaptation for year-round species versus the migratory species?
So that's a really common issue that a lot of our projects address. There are these resident bird species and wildlife species, but then out here on the coast of Lake Michigan, this is where you guys are under this amazing Lake Michigan flyway. So there's a lot of migratory birds being served, and that does change the species and the habitat types that will need to be managed or assisted to persist through climate change. What's interesting here is that there's a lot of diverse habitats that serve both the resident and the migratory species. There's forests, there's riparian habitats, there's coastal estuarine here, and cold water streams. So that's part of the strategy is choosing a site that already presents the potential or existing diversity and mix of habitats and food species availability and managing them. One thing that's interesting here is because of the climate challenges, which are very similar to those being faced at the Rush Creek site, on the lakeshore, this is changing migratory patterns. They're shifting. The arrivals of these birds are earlier in the spring, and the departures are later in the fall. And that presents a mismatch of food availability for those species across that longer timeline. So this project is changing the plant species and habitat cover that are available.
Liz Tully with the Wildlife Conservation Society leading its Climate Adaptation Fund. Join in 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show. We continue this conversation ahead on the Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're talking about the Wildlife Conservation Society and a new round of grant making earlier this year through its Climate Adaptation Fund. You can join in on this work, 800-642-1234. Liz Tully is here with the Wildlife Conservation Society. Liz, take us to this climate adaptation plan in Florence County. So Wildlife Conservation Society awarded a $140,000 grant back in 2014. What are the changes that have been seen to the scrub oak forests there?
Yeah, so this project, this was the first project in Wisconsin that we were able to fund and learn from. They were working on climate-driven drought specifically in this area, but then the pressures from that drought led to an increase in forest pests and disease, like oak wilt and the jack pine budworm. So the combination of drought and stressors were also expected to intensify. They had to do something different about the way they're managing this forest and this habitat and dealing with erosion. The forests in this part of the state provide habitat for approximately 18 bird species and 9 mammal species, all of greatest conservation need. And they put in a mosaic of small red pine plantations in areas. This actually was meant to break up this mono species of jack pine, which is much more vulnerable to that jack pine budworm. And those little mini plantations they put in between would buffer the area against outbreaks of insects or other disease that would target specific species. Sometimes adaptation involves diversifying the species you're working with so the whole system can respond and bounce back, and only small parts of it are vulnerable to new outbreaks.
A bit of trial and error as well.
Oh yeah. So I like to say adaptation is something that's meant for those who can be agile and patient. It's not quick or formulaic work. It's very place-based, and you have to kind of approach the science you know with a lot of humility and I would even say wisdom. And it requires very contemplative acts. And you have to adhere to logic as well while still being flexible. Because the climate conditions are the certainty around what they are kind of shifting beneath our feet sometimes.
I'm thinking about over 100 grant awards and wondering what are the challenges in climate finance, if you will, in green lighting climate adaptation grant projects from a fiscal standpoint.
Yeah, I mean, I think the challenge is that adaptation is still new. We have been fortunate to have a wonderful funder, the Doris Duke Charitable Foundation, funding this program with WCS, the Wildlife Conservation Society, for over 10 years. So we have managed to create a set of frameworks, criteria, and standards for assessing and greenlighting pretty well vetted, well planned adaptation projects. And I think the exciting thing will be how do we export that out once funding becomes available for adaptation. How do we transfer over what we've learned, because it does take a certain set of criteria that are different from the typical conservation project to be able to green light with confidence funding for adaptation.
And it's tricky too, because you have public interests and private interests. You have just other funding streams as well, and that it really sounds like it has to be a lot of collaboration.
Oh yeah, you really get this work. They're all partnerships as well. That's one of the most important. That's one of the criteria we have, is the quality of partnerships, and a lot of them are public and private partnerships. There are wonderful state partners on these projects. There are even federal partners sometimes. There's city and other municipality partners with conservation nonprofits and private landowners.
Liz, thank you for this work and thank you for joining us.
Yeah, I'm so glad again that you featured adaptation. It's part of the climate crisis that's not happening in the atmosphere, which is very important, but it's also the part that's happening on the ground here.
Liz Tully is Climate Adaptation Fund Associate Director at the Wildlife Conservation Society. Ahead this hour, it's the work to help prevent the spread of invasive carp invading the Great Lakes, along with your questions, what's working, what's not, 800-642-1234. News update is next on the Ideas Network.